Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PFS Global Support Podcast. Our mission is to provide support, guidance, and coping strategies for thousands upon thousands of men the world over afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. While medical researchers are learning more about this devastating condition in an effort to cure it, we're here to listen to your experiences, share them across borders, and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle this growing epidemic and put an end to it for future generations.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. I am your new host, Amir Karkouti, and Mr. Ben King, my co-host, will be joining us in a little bit. And before I let you know why I'm your new host and why I guess you can say why I'm credible for being the new host is because I'm also a post-finasteride syndrome victim, patient, however you want to put it. And for those that don't know what post-finasteride syndrome is or PFS, it is a devastating condition that affects a ton of men all over the world. And it's from taking a drug called finasteride for hair loss. And that's under the Propecia brand, or also for enlarged prostate, which is Proscar. Anyway, the persistent symptoms are things like loss of libido, erectile dysfunction, depression, suicidal ideation, anxiety, panic attacks, Peyronie's disease, penile shrinkage, gynecomastia, muscle atrophy, all sorts of stuff like that. And people are losing their jobs. People are breaking up. It's a devastating condition. And one of the worst things about this thing is that it has people get so depressed that they literally kill themselves or want to kill themselves. And they remove themselves from family members and friends. And, you know, I've been unfortunately victimized by a lot of those things. My libido was gone, which we'll be talking about, erection problems, orgasm disorders. I've had all of that. And I'll tell you a little bit about my story. But before I do, I want to introduce my co-host, Mr. Ben King. Are you on the line?
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, perfect. Nice hearing from you. How are you today?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing wonderful. I'm excited to do this first podcast with you and get this going out into the world.
I just want to say, before we start, I'm here. Just a tribute to Adam Held, who did such a fantastic job for so long. He did an amazing job.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I want to thank him for...
He's still going to keep his hand in and do the odd show. But he made a massive difference and he did a really fantastic job.
Thank you so much. And hopefully you and I can keep running the show in similar fashion, if not... you know, give tribute to him by continuing this. And I would love to have Adam on the show, like you mentioned. It would be awesome to continue to hear how he's doing and how he's improving, if he's improving.
Yeah, he is improving, I think, as far as I know.
Well, that's good to hear.
You get down the line so far and then you start to improve. It takes a long time to hit that threshold point, but things do look up eventually.
Well, let's hope so. We're going to continue to talk to people that have had this and kind of go along the lines. And since you and I are both post-finasteride syndrome sufferers, yeah. I thought this first episode we should, you know, maybe I'll ask you some questions. You can start first on to what happened with you and all that.
We should sort of introduce ourselves and let people know what we're both about. Give them a brief synopsis of our stories and maybe give people an inkling into the sort of direction we want to take the show in the future.
That sounds good. I'm totally with you on that. So do you mind if we start with you first? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah, go shoot.
Great. So tell me, let's start with when you first started finasteride and why you took it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I did the podcast about 18 months ago, and I've told my story already, but I'll tell it again in brief. I took it when it was back in 2006. I was using Regain because there was only some mild thinning on my temples. I became completely paranoid. And with Wigan, you get shedding at the front. And I mistook that for a signal that I was going to go completely bald within like 6 months. So I panicked and I didn't do adequate research about Propecia. I believed the Merck misinformation about the drug. The 2% side effect of impotence, I thought, and I didn't really think that was a risk anyway because it was meant to be reversible upon cessation. So that was a deciding factor for me taking the drug. nothing was said about depression, really, or suicidal ideation at that stage. That's only come to light in the past few years. So I proceeded down the finasteride route, and I maintained life of a sort for 3 years on the drug. The catalyst for me quitting the drug was listening to a radio show about the side effects of the drug, so I quit the drug. I crashed really badly in 2010. Severe depression, mental hospital, loss of businesses, loss of girlfriend. Are you still there, mate?
I am here. Absolutely. I'm listening.
And my life just turned absolutely from being fantastic pre-finasteride. I was a bit of a ladies' man, to be honest. I was 36. I was, you know, contemplating settling down at 40. I was going to just enjoy the last 4 years of freedom, so to speak. And on my 40th birthday, when your life is supposedly meant to start, I just thought my life was at a complete end. And I went through, this was 2010, I went through 4 years of serious depression, seeing psychiatrists, terrible thoughts that I had no control over, which made me feel like some sort of, some sort of deviant. But I couldn't, like I say, I couldn't control them. My psychiatrist made me realise that these intrusive thoughts were a recognised thing with psychosis. I know for a fact this is all to do with the effects of finasteride on my brain chemistry now. And I've rationalised those thoughts that I felt so guilty about. And it's only in the past 2 years that my life started picking up again. And I feel like I'm sort of turning a corner now. Still have some sexual issues. I don't have mental issues now. There's some physical issues, like I've got like a distension on my stomach. I've got slight breast tissue, muscle wastage, penile shrinkage, loss of body hair, loss of prominence of veins in my hands and feet and other areas. But like I said, things are beginning to look up. At my darkest point, I didn't think that I could find a girlfriend again, but I have. I didn't think I'd work again. I'm doing little bits of work now, and my life's finally turning around.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. And
I've missed a lot out there, mate. I don't want to bore people if they've heard my previous podcast.
Well, it's not boring, and I don't think that anything that you said is boring at all. I actually appreciate it. And here's what I wanted to say with everything that you said.
Yeah.
That's a pretty typical day for someone who has PFS. I mean, everything that you said, I had majority of all the stuff that you had said. So. Yeah. And so for the people that are listening out there, if any those symptoms sound like you, I highly suggest you go to a doctor or get it checked out. This is some serious stuff. And
I think the worst element for me or for any, and I think this is the reason people commit suicide because of this drug, is the utter feeling of despair and desolation and depression. And there was a point I just couldn't see any light. I'm here. I just could not see any way forward. In a way, those horrible thoughts I had saved my life, because I thought if I killed myself, I was going to hell for having those thoughts.
Yeah, it's and it's a very lonely condition, right? I mean, you try to. Yeah. I have a feeling. Did you explain it to your doctors? How did that go?
My doctor's. She's not really receptive, but she's. There was a point where I was getting called in every year to be examined by med students because I was the craziest person in the neighborhood. But yeah, she accepts it to a degree now, this post-finasteride syndrome. But my psychiatric nurse has helped me. He totally believes in it. Having seen what I've gone through over the past 4.5 years, he's been, without him, I wouldn't be at this stage now.
Yeah, I've noticed.
But real quick. The endo that I went to see at the beginning was totally dismissive. He was meant to be like a prostate specialist and an endocrinologist, and he was just an absolute joke. He made me feel like I was making it all up. And that was really, I found it offensive.
Yeah, I had very similar experiences.
What's your experience been like with the medical fraternity?
You know, I'll be honest with you, it's been the exact same thing. Either they don't know about it, or they think that it was in my head, or it was something that I, you know, will get better eventually. It was very surreal to go through something where, you know, I couldn't get an erection. I was a 35-year-old healthy. I worked out and they're telling me, oh, just take Viagra. I'm like, I don't want Viagra. I want to know what's wrong. They had no idea. And so, the worst part I think of this is so many men have this and they have nowhere to go. Even their doctor,
that's right.
You can't even go to your doctor to get this figured out. So it's a very
best person I know to deal with issues of post-finasteride syndrome is a doctor in Ireland called Dr. Andrew Wynn, who's actually done the podcast. He totally accepts all the symptoms and he's sort of an activist against the drug. And people can contact him online. He charges very little. He doesn't exploit sufferers. He's a fantastic guy to know if you're suffering from PFS.
And we'll leave that name on. If you didn't catch the name, I'll add it to the episode so people can know.
He's got a website as well, mate. People can do Skype meetings with him and all sorts.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
People in America don't have to go and travel to Ireland. He'll do it like a one-to-one over Skype. And he won't exploit you financially.
And we have a wonderful doctor here. I live in San Diego, here in San Diego, and he's the one that kind of got me out of it as best as he could. I mean, there's not much we can do yet, but his name is Dr. Irwin Goldstein, and again, I'll leave that information on here as well.
Excellent. I gather you've got him lined up for the show as well, Amir.
Yeah, that's right. We have a treat for you. He cool, said man. That he'd agree to come do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's the go through your story then in brief?
Sure.
What was life like before the drug? And what were the reasons for you taking the drug, Amir?
Man, life was incredible. I had so much energy. When I started taking it, it was in 2007, December of 2007. So I was still in my young, in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And late 20s, actually, just maybe 29 or so. And I was feeling great. My life was great. I'd go out with my friends, family, party, hang out. I was, I own businesses here in San Diego, so I had a lot going on, and it didn't feel like a lot. I had a lot of energy, and and it was about 2014. My wife, now she's my wife, but at the time she was my girlfriend. She saw me taking this. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
I've seen a picture. And she's a very good-looking woman.
Thank you. Yeah, she's been a very big support for me for this.
Excellent.
And so she saw me take these pills that were on my bathroom counter, and she said, "What is this for?" And I said, "Oh, it's not a big deal. It's for hair loss." And so she said, "Well, let me look into it." And she started reading it. The next day, she goes, So let me get this straight. You're ingesting this every single day, but it says on one of the warnings that I cannot touch this stuff. And especially if I'm pregnant, just touching it can cause some really bad stuff.
Yeah, it causes deformities in a male human fetus.
Exactly. So something clicked in me and I said, oh my God, wait, you're telling me that I'm taking a drug that my wife or my girlfriend at the time could not even touch. So I started looking into it and I said, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm done with it. So I just stopped. Never looked back, didn't think much of it. And then 3 months later, I was in Thailand with my wife.
Yeah.
And I could not function. I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. We went to dinner one night and I was apologizing for her. I didn't know why I was feeling that way.
Yeah.
I fell asleep at dinner and she literally had to drag me into the cab and take me back into the hotel. And I was blown away. I didn't know what was going on. A healthy guy. I was 35 years old.
Yeah.
And it got worse. I got home and I thought maybe it was because of the traveling and it wasn't. I got worse. And all of a sudden I had been dating. If you've seen my wife, she's a beautiful woman. I had no sexual thoughts about her. I didn't have any morning erections. I had no interest in having sex.
Did this just come on like a switch being flicked, or did you have any symptoms when you're on the drug?
No, I didn't. I may have had it. I'm not really sure, but it wasn't enough for me to go, okay, I need to do something about it. It hit really hard after 3 months off of it.
Yeah.
And so.
How was your crack?
Do
you have any mental issues, or was it just lethargy and sexual dysfunction?
It was, I literally felt like a 90-year-old male. I had no sexual function. My memory was completely shot. My wife would be looking at me. You too?
Short term, but my long term memory remained intact. Short term was terrible. Logic reasoning just disappeared. I was playing Monopoly and I couldn't even remember which piece I was. That's how bad it got.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, it was terrible. It was embarrassing. Carry on, mate. Sorry I interrupted.
No, not at all. I was going to say, I completely get that. I would talk to my wife. I would look at her and I had no idea what she had said. And it was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was really, really frustrating, not only for her, but for me, because I could hear the words. I could see her mouth moving. But I would say, I am so sorry. I didn't know what you just said. And she goes, are you kidding me? This is my third time talking.
You can't assimilate the combination of words.
Oh, exactly.
Have you still got that symptom now, Amir? Because I get that to a degree, but not as bad as it was.
It's funny that you say that, because this morning I was like that and I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to do an episode. And thank goodness Ben is on the phone with me, because I started to get those. And I get it periodically. I get it with no rhyme or reason. And it's not, and I know a lot of people could say, well, of course, you know, as you get older, you get it. It's not just forgetting one or two words or forgetting and misplacing your keys like everybody else. It's a complete shutdown of your memory where it's blank, like you're like a zombie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know if that's how it's like for you.
No, it was in for 3 years it was like that. It just absolutely fried my brain in every way. Memory, logic, reasoning, thought processes, depression, anxiety. I was just a complete wreck.
Let me ask.
Made a lot of progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you something. You know, one of the things I've had thoughts of suicide. I didn't think much of them. I thought that maybe it's just very interesting thoughts. Now, from my understanding, you had suicidal ideation. If I'm correct, is that right?
I went out on a motorbike one day. Wrote a suicide note. I didn't feel when I wrote that note. I just had no emotion. I felt no emotion to any of my family, to any partners, to any friends. My suicide note was basically so-and-so is to get this house, so-and-so is to get that other house, cash in my pension and give that to so-and-so. It wasn't like goodbye, I'm so sorry, I can't go on anymore. There was no emotion in it. And I went out on my motorbike and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the balls to do it. I didn't want to do it to my family, and I thought for these thoughts I'd had, I thought I was going to hell, so I didn't do it. And then I was taken to the psychiatric unit, and then my parents collected me, and I came back to stay with them after losing my businesses. Then I ended up in the psychiatric ward, and then came back, and I'm still with my parents now, but I'm looking to move out because I'm feel like a bit of a sad character when you're 44 and still living with your parents.
Yeah, no, I get that. Let me ask you. So you said you had businesses. So you ran your businesses. You're a healthy guy. Tell me a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I was. I had a clothing collection business. I had an electrical business, and I was just before I quit the drug, and I was sort of just muddling through life. Really, I'd lost all my sharpness, although I didn't put it down to the drug because it tricked me into thinking that my life was still all right. I was just branching out into buying properties as well. I'd be in a much better place now if it wasn't for this drug. I'd be looking at an early retirement and stuff, you know. But this drug really puts a spanner in the works of your entire life. Every element of your life gets destroyed first, only for a certain time, then you can pick it back up again.
You know, Ben, you said something before about writing a note and not having any feelings. One of the things for me as well that was devastating is when I was going through it, I didn't have enough feelings or energy to go get myself fixed because I didn't have any care for it. I was feeling so crappy, but it was strange because a lot of times with other symptoms, you know, you have enough to muster up and say, you know, I should go to the doctor. I had no feeling, so I didn't even care to go to the doctor. My wife had to literally force me to get in the car to go. I didn't care about life. Was that how it was for you?
Absolutely. It decimated my life. Because I was going through like bodily changes, like my penis dropping off and my belly expanding and my gaining breast tissue, I didn't want to get naked. I found myself repulsive, so I'd go weeks without getting showered, and my mother would have to force me to get showered, and I just lost all. It just took me so far away from the person that I used to be. It was unbelievable. I just didn't feel like Ben King anymore. I didn't even feel like a human being. I just felt subhuman, like a slug or a worm. I just felt like a creature, not a human. It was, you know, I like took it upon myself when I started recovering to raise awareness. I don't pursue that mission as avidly now, but I still have my website online. And I went in the national paper debasing myself to warn other people about this drug. I had like trolls laughing at me online and stuff, do you know what I mean? Because there was a picture of me before the T-shirt where I looked like quite a good-looking kid, decent body, all that. And then there was a picture after Propecia. I was fat with a beard, unkempt, basically looked like a tramp. People were laughing at me about that. But I thought, you know, I'm not going to let these idiots get to me. I want to do the right thing by humanity. This drug is absolutely perverse. Merck know it's perverse. And I'm going to do my utmost to stop them destroying other people's lives, even if it means humiliating myself. That's how strongly I felt about it.
Wow, that's and you know, I want to thank you as well, because this is for our guests and this is for people to share. And you know, if I could say, you know, anything for people listening out there. And before I say anything, if you want to call in, please write this down. It's 718-508-9136. Again, that's 718-508-9136. We'd be happy to have you on the show, and if you want to tell us a little bit about your story, please come in. But what I was mentioning is that there are a lot of men out there, unfortunately, that are going through a lot of the stuff you and I have gone through, but it's embarrassing for them, or they don't want to tell others about it.
That's right.
You know, please go and start telling people. Don't do this alone. It's a very, very hopeless feeling.
I completely agree with that, Amir. I think, particularly if you're undergoing psychological issues, that you really, really need to reach out and get psychiatric help. I said that on the previous podcast. If it wasn't for my psychiatric nurse, who's an absolutely amazing man, Raj, he's called. He literally saved my life. I can't pay homage to that guy enough. He's just an absolute star. So like people need to reach out and get that help and make you need to tell them about the syndrome and get them to do the research on it, so they're clued up and not they don't treat you like an idiot who's just imagining these symptoms.
Absolutely, and you know, and if your doctor doesn't believe you or for some odd reason doesn't know what it is, look up postmenopausal.
Hey?
Exactly.
Just move on. Don't give them your money and just find someone else.
Yeah, and bring, you know what I did with my doctor? I'll tell you a little bit of a good news. I actually went to my doctor who prescribed it for me, and I gave him literature of all this of post-finasteride syndrome, and I sat there with him and I said, look, I have every single one of these freaking symptoms because of a drug that you prescribed. And the good news is I spoke to my pharmacist, who happens to also be someone I've known for a very long time. Yeah. And he said, yeah, luckily he's not prescribing as much. He's only prescribing it for like older people, but he's not prescribing it as much for, you know, young adults, which is really, really surprising because he used to prescribe that like candy for a lot of his patients. So doctors are listening. If you give them information, if you, you know, don't go to your doctor pissed off and all that, go and make them be a part of the cause. Let them know what's happening to us so they don't do it.
Definitely. Can I just quote this? You know this already, but the U.S. National Institute of Health has actually recognized, that's like affiliated to the U.S. government, they've recognized post-finasteride syndrome as a bona fide syndrome. And it's been added to they've added PFS to its list of genetic and rare diseases.
Wow.
I'd like to ask this question to the U.S. government. If one body, the U.S. National Institute of Health, recognizes this drug as being so damaging, why can't the government say to their other body, the Food and Drugs Administration, look, this drug's destroying people's lives and men are committing suicide because of it. Well, let's pull it. Let's ban it. I just don't see the logic in that. Do you know what I mean? For one body to say it's dangerous, and then the FDA to say it's like let Merck keep selling this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you saw our postal service, it does make a lot of sense. Everything just takes so long to figure out here in the States, and that's why I think it's really important. I mean, you're all the way from Europe in the UK, and I'm here in San Diego. You know, now that we have social media, now that we have ways for us as the people, I don't want to wait. Honestly, Ben, I'm not going to wait for the government to make changes. I'm like you and I, we're jumping in and doing it first. And so for people that are on here.
The only way to beat back the devastation this drug is causing is to educate people that it is dangerous, and it's not just because the FDA approved a drug, it doesn't denote its safety. I mean, look at Vioxx that killed, 50,000 people, but they reckon the real figure was 500,000. And Merck only pulled the plug on that drug because the FDA said, look, it's actually killing people in tens of thousands. Merck have no scruples, no morals. 500 men could have committed suicide because of Prophecia, but they still wouldn't pull it unless the FDA told them to. But the FDA are that inept and inefficient and incompetent, they won't do that. And corrupt as well, I've got to say corrupt.
Yeah, and that's why we're doing shows like this, because at the end of the day, we have to put it in our hands. And there's a lot of people on the communities now and forums that can assist you. There are people. PFS organizations that can help. That are putting their money into assisting people that are either having PFS or trying to get research out there. And they're actually doing they're doing a study now in the United States right now. That as we're talking, they're working on it right now. So let's hope that comes out with some
big studies. Well, three big studies, two in America and one in I think it's Italy.
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to yield answers and possible treatments. I don't think we're going to be ever restored to our former glory, but I think we can be helped so life becomes bearable, if not enjoyable, again.
Yeah.
People should. What's your advice, Amir, to lads that are going going through the crash and feel complete, just a sense of utter hopelessness. What would you say to these guys?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, when I was going through my crash, I wanted to alienate myself. I just didn't want to deal with anybody. And so in the midst of all that fog, don't stop reaching out for your friends and family. Don't get yourself in a corner where you're all alone, because when you're in that state, it is a really rough time already. And so if you're out there right now and you're devastated, which I understand and I know Ben understands, go out and start reaching people. Even if you don't have to tell them, you know, every specific, if you're embarrassed or if you're shy, but tell them something is wrong and that you need support. And if again, if your friends and family don't understand, shoot us an email at pfsglobalradio@gmail.com. We'll connect you to people. You're welcome to call me and talk to me directly. I'm sure Ben would be open to that at all.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're not alone out there. Please, if you're listening to this, you're not alone. And there, you know, I can't promise that you're going to be 100% back to where you're at, but there is hope out there for something to change and get a little bit better. There are people out there that want you to be better. So
that's right. I just think it's so important for people to believe when they're going through that utter hell that you have to go through. To when you're going through that what they call a crash, is even though you may not think it, life does actually get better in it. It becomes like, I just hated my life for 4 years. I mean, I just hated every day. It was just such a chore just to get up. I wasn't living a life, it was just an existence. But now I get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning because I want to, like, Merck stole 7 years of my life, 3 years when I was on the drug where I didn't realize my life was going downhill, and 4 years post finasteride, and I want them 7 years back. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to give Merck that. I'm not going to let them have that from me. I want my life. I've reclaimed my life back, and I want them wasted years back. And that's why I get up and I seize every day. And I know it sounds trite and cliche, but I do. I get up and I'm busy all day, and I interact and I go out, and it's like a life worth living now. Where, like I said before, it was just an existence.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
They just have to believe that. They just have to project themselves 2, 3, 4 years down the line and know that life becomes worthwhile again.
Yeah, that's wonderful advice. And, you know, one thing that I can tell you from my personal experience, after I went to my doctor's, he had said that there are many forums you can get on. And I personally found a lot of those forums very depressing for me. A lot of them were talking about how there's no way out, and, you know, they want to kill themselves suicide.
That's enough. That the main website nearly sent me to suicide. It really did. It was just so, even the format of the website is so old fashioned and depressing. It's not worth going on there. I'd heartily advise men not to use that site. It's just, you won't get anything from it in a positive respect. Just well clear. Just the Post Finasteride Foundation website is far more professional and far more worthwhile to visit that site and get actual scientific based papers and research instead of conjecture by all these PFS sufferers who pretend to be medically aware. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I want to make it very clear that Ben and I are not a part of the Post Finasteride Foundation. We don't work for any of the doctors. We are literally just doing this for to get the word out. So I just wanted to say that on air so no one thinks, oh, they're working for them. I don't have any say or anything with any of the research or anything medically or with the foundation. So neither does Ben, I believe, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So with that being said, if you do want to check it out, it's the Post Finasteride, what is it? The Post Finasteride PFS Foundation.
PFSfoundation.org.
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay. Check that out. That place is very uplifting, and you can see the real science behind what they're working on and what's happening. And if you can get on their email list as well, they're pretty good about keeping you updated on to what's going on. So get yourself on there again. Don't do us alone. I know if you're listening on here, again, if you want to call in, it's 718-508-9136. If you think that you're alone, you're not. I have gone through many of the stuff that Ben had mentioned. My libido is still gone. My erectile dysfunction is still here. I've lately been getting panic attacks, which has been very interesting because I've never had those before.
Yeah, I get
cognitive impairment.
You too? Those are transient, Amir. They'll pass.
Yeah, okay, good. That's good to know because it's been very strange to have those.
Terrible things to have to go through. The ones I had, well, lasting 8 hours, I just felt my heart was going to burst out of my chest. It was just the worst thing I've ever been through.
Oh, my goodness. If I mine have lasted 15 to half an hour. I can't imagine having a whole day of that.
There's breathing exercises you can do, and if you've got a pet, stroke your pets, stuff like that, and you can get yourself through that.
Fair enough. That sounds good. And with that being said, is there anything else that comes to mind that you want to talk about that you think would be important for the listeners to hear?
I encourage people to ring in and join the show in the future with us both. Tell your story and sort of get out there that this syndrome isn't minor and it's not trivial. It's happening on a massive scale, and you know, just encourage people to air their voices and stand up and be counted, really.
Absolutely. And again, if you want to get on the show and you don't want to use your real name, that's okay too. We completely understand. You know, this is not about, you know, getting you out there and making you feel embarrassed or shy. This is about getting the word out. Even if you want to use, you know, the Joe Schmo as your name and get on and share your story, you know, you're going to do a big service. If anything, you know, the way that you stop being a victim is by sharing it and becoming a hero. And that's one thing that we can do. We may not physically get for a very long time, if ever, but at least we can at least go and share it with others so they don't get on it or they don't feel embarrassed, and they can say to their friends and family, you know what, I'm not alone. There's people on the radio that have been going through it. So
yeah,
that's good. That's wonderful.
Excellent job, mate. Yeah, thanks for setting it up. You put more into this than me, and I thank you for that.
Let's hope. No, thank you so much.
Let's hope we can take this thing forward in listen to people's stories, sympathize, but give out the overall message that all is not lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank you again, Ben, for joining me. You made this a lot easier for me as well. And if you want to contact either of us, you can reach us at pfsglobalradio@gmail.com. We'd love to have you as a guest, as a speaker, and pretty soon we're going to have Dr. Erwin Goldstein from San Diego Sexual Health coming in and speaking, and he'll be telling the science behind PFS and how it affects us from a doctor's point of view. So that'll be wonderful, and we'll keep you posted. And please, if you can, please share this everywhere on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Send it out to doctors if you need to, whoever you need to. Get this stuff out, please. That's the best thing that we can do right now.
To the hair loss clinics as well.
Absolutely, hair loss clinics. Anywhere that
they're poison.
Absolutely, 100%. And we're gonna leave it off with that. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed the show. And Ben, we'll be doing this maybe in a week or two. So I'll connect with you, and we'll let you know.
Yeah, be cool. Excellent. Look forward to it, Matt.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll get a guest with us on the next one. And you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for tuning into PFS Global Support, where we offer coping strategies to thousands upon thousands of men afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. We're here to share your experiences across borders and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle PFS and put an end to this growing epidemic for future generations.